Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I am Tori.
And I'm Puma.
And on this podcast, we talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between. Yeah, we're in the middle of our series, The Names of God. Oh, they've been so fun. Really, really love learning from Puma and with you guys, too. So thank you so much for tuning in. And yeah, let's dive into this next name. All right.
Well, the next name. Today we're going to talk about Elohim.
Elohim. Elohim. Elohim. I've heard this one before.
Yes. Yeah, Elohim. Yeah. Another name, probably if you've been around, you know, any kind of church or you know, grow up in the church, you probably heard the word Elohim. Elohim is a word that really, again, kind of like Adonai, is a plural name. Mm. It comes from, like, in Hebrew and in other Semitic languages, kind of like the generic God. If I said, hey, you know, God, lowercase G-O-D, would be El, just a singular God in Hebrew and a lot of Semitic languages. And so when they just say God or the God or whatever, it's El. But in the Old Testament, God is not referenced as El. He's referenced as Elohim. And this starts in the very first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth.
Interesting. This is the very first recorded name of God.
Yeah, verse 1.
Genesis 1:1.
Yeah, let's get right to it. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Wow. And so one of the meanings of Elohim is the all-powerful one or the creator. So Elohim, Genesis chapter 1, has 31 verses, and Elohim is mentioned 32 times. Hmm. And what happens in Genesis chapter 1?
That's when God creates the world and everything in it, the beginning of life.
Yeah, it's the beginning, it's creation, and Elohim is the creator. Elohim is the all-powerful creator, the creator that creates something from nothing. Hmm. And what is so interesting about the name Elohim, it is plural, but it's not emphasizing like number per se. It's not like gods. Like the plural would be, you know, generically would be gods, but in reference to the God of the Bible, is referencing more of his again, loftiness, kind of like when we talked about with Adonai. It wasn't necessarily about many lords as much as it is like the highest Lord. Mm-hmm. So with Elohim, you know, this plural name, that this is not just any old God. This is the all-powerful or the creative God or the God who creates all things. Mm-hmm. So there's a plurality there, but it's not necessarily talking about. And what's interesting, too, you go through Genesis chapter 1, that you have usually in grammar, English is horrible at this, but, you know,
a lot of reasons,
but, you know, those that have studied other languages, often you have to, you know, languages need gender agreement with the nouns and the verbs and the number agreement, whether it's singular or plural. So if you have a plural noun, you usually have a verb that is plural.
Right, usually together.
Yeah, so in Genesis chapter 1, though, you got the plural noun with singular verbs. So it's not referencing, it's a very unusual way of writing, but it's communicating that there's one God, but like a plurality to him, but it's not so much plurality as it is this, you know, kind of like a higher or majestic. Mm. So if you get to Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, he says, now when God created the heavens and the earth, Yahweh Elohim. So Genesis 2 already is connecting Elohim to Yahweh. So Elohim of Genesis 1 is Yahweh, the God of Israel. And so in Genesis was written, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy was written to the nation of Israel as they had left Egypt and were basically wandering in the wilderness. And so God gave, you know, this truth to Moses. Moses wrote it down for the nation. And so as they were learning about where everything came from, Genesis chapter 1, which is also recorded for you and I, it begins with Elohim creating. But this Elohim is himself Yahweh. So it's not talking about many gods. It's talking about singular God. We would understand God to exist in three persons, a triune God. Mm-hmm. There's one God who exists in three persons. And so there's some of those ideas already, the seeds of those ideas are already kind of germinating in Genesis chapter 1.
Interesting. So. Yeah, so that's, I mean, Elohim, I think it's cool that, yeah, it's the beginning of creation. I think it's neat that the verbiage and the wordage is very unique. And there's, I'm sure, a lot of intention behind that. Even if you don't understand that fully, I think it's cool that it's not just El, right? I mean, it's not just any, it's Elohim. What, do you know what Ahim means? Or, like, you have El, which is God, and then Ahim. What is that other part? Why is it added? I mean.
Yeah, it's just the plural.
Oh, all that is just, like, the S to make it right. Plural? Okay.
Yeah, plural, like Adon, Adonai, okay. El, Elohim, you know. That's as basic, like the plural. Yeah.
It's the plural meaning.
Yeah.
So where else do we see this word throughout Scripture? What is the significance of Elohim?
Well, Elohim is used over 2,500 times in the Old Testament.
Wow.
So this is, again, another area, I think, that people really struggle today. Even in the church, we really struggle with this. I want to be my own person. I don't want to be beholden to anyone. I don't want to be dependent upon anyone. Mm. I want to, you know, make my own rules, pave my own way. And the significance, I think, of Elohim is God is the, like, the all-powerful creator. That idea, I think, constantly is getting lost in our minds. Taking all the other names of God, we put them all together. We have a God who is good, a loving, providing, takes care of us, shepherds. He's the God of gods. He is a good God. He is the all-powerful one, and he is the one that created us. So why would one who is all-powerful, why would he create? There's something incredibly significant there for us, and we lose sight of that all the time as far as, like, meaning, purpose. You know, where do we come from? Where are we going? Is there any hope in life? What's the point of it all? Some of the implications of Genesis chapter 1, the emphasis, obviously, in Genesis, what God created. But, you know, when you hear a word repeated over and over again, there's some emphasis there.
Important or, yeah, pay attention.
So when Elohim mentions himself 32 times in 31 verses.
Yeah, it's excessive.
Yeah, he wants us to know him. God created, but he is the point. Genesis 1, God created everything, which is important, but it is important because of him. It is there because of him. He is the creator, which means he is the authority over it. He's the creator, which means he can determine its purpose. He's the creator, therefore he cares about what he creates. He's the creator and sustainer of everything. So Elohim. One of the interesting things too, you have, like, the creation account. You go through 25 verses, and then Elohim said, and it was. He just spoke, and things came into existence.
Yeah, powerful.
Yeah, there was nothing, and then there's something. Because Elohim speaks. That's the kind of power Elohim has. He speaks when there's nothing, and then there's something. There is no power like that. We can't even comprehend power like that, where just speaking, because everything that we see and experience comes from something else, right? You and I are sitting here, but we didn't cause ourselves to be here.
That'd be awkward.
Yeah. So for 25 verses, Elohim speaks and something comes into existence. And then, he says in verse 26, then Elohim said, let us, and there a plural pronoun, which is interesting, let us make man in our image. Man, singular, in our image, male and female, plural. So mankind is one kind, but two...
Two individual.
Two unique, co-equal, co-valuable, but distinctly different.
Wow. Yeah, I can't comprehend that. That's so weird.
distinctly different. And so you have Elohim, the all-powerful one, the creator, who creates, and the pinnacle of his creation is man. And this gets into all kinds of issues that we don't have time to talk about on this podcast. Things going on in the culture and just the gender identity and what is a man and what is a woman and... You know, how many genders are there? what God wants us to understand as Elohim is that he is the one who created it all, and the implications of that are ginormous and affect everything. Mm-hmm. Throughout the Bible, God uses this truth that he is the creator over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Because when we lose sight that he is the one who creates, he is the one that is over all and purposed everything and determined and has proper authority, then everything else in life gets all messed up. Mm-hmm. And so throughout the Bible, you see this over and over again. So Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Isaiah 40, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Throughout Scripture, God is always reminding us back to this truth that he alone is the creator. And not because he's trying to brag or being just like, you know, I'm better than you. Right. Like,
yeah, not controlling or vindictive.
No, he wants us to know this so that we think about life, and we think about life in its proper perspective. Some of the implications of this from Genesis 1, just some observations, and just wrote some of these down. Creation, it started with a person. You know, it started with Elohim. It also, I think, another implication that highlights that God or Elohim is the foundation of all things. Another one, he is a central character, not us.
Yeah, that's a good, hard one, but a good one to remember.
He's the main focus. We are part of the story, but we are not the story. He is the story, and we are a part of that story, and we're an important part of that story. We are the beneficiaries of that story, but it's still about him, not about us. And so going back to that he is Elohim the creator, I think this is really helpful to us because life is not about us. Even though we always think every baby comes out thinking it's the center of the world, center of the universe. I think another implication is that my life is in God's hand, right? If he is the creator, then he sustains and he holds it and he keeps it. And most rational people take care of things that they create.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not going to spend time in designing or growing. I mean, no one raises, you know, a puppy just to abuse it.
Right.
You know, yeah. Just, I mean, the normal person would not do that.
Right. And, you know, another implication is that God owns everything. So I quoted Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. So as the owner, he wants his property taken care of.
Yeah, there's an element of stewardship there, too.
Right. So it's the difference between, like, renting and owning a house. If I own a house, I very much care about what happens to the house.
True.
If anyone's ever rented or you've had rental property, you know that renters are just passing through and they don't take care of the rental property.
And I can even attest, whenever I get a rental car with insurance, I'm I'm always doing burnouts. And
when we get a 15-passenger van, we off-road it, yes. You know, on trips, yeah. So it's the difference between an owner and a renter. You know, the implication, God is the owner. Therefore, he cares about what he created. He has authority to rule since he is the creator. Nothing exists without him. So everything that exists is because of him.
What about the bad things? I mean, if he is, you know, Elohim, and he is, if he's the creator of everything, what does that mean? We can get back to that.
So when you talk about bad things, that's a whole podcast in and of itself. You know, why is there evil in the world?
Yeah, that is one coming up, friends. We'll talk about that.
You know, so we get to Genesis chapter 3, where sin and sin's effect on really not just people, but all creation, effect on all creation. One of the things in Genesis chapter 1, Elohim creates, and it says everything is good. It's good. So what Elohim created is good in how he created it. Sin destroys or, say, perverts or wrecks what God created. So sin is not like a tangible thing as much as, you know, a reality of distortion or corruption or ruining things. So that's a question that we'll probably get into down the road.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's a good one. Another implication of Elohim creating in Genesis 1, like the pinnacle of creation, he switches gears when he speaks in the third person, let there be. planets. Let there be fish, right? Let there be. But then when the creation of man, it becomes first person, let us make. Mm. And I think there's a really important emphasis there that mankind was created to have a unique, special purpose relationship with the Creator that's different from everything else that was created.
Mm. And it's only said of mankind.
That's only said of mankind.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, which tells us that mankind has unique value, unique purpose, a specialness to God the Creator, to Elohim, that is different from everything else. You know, created men and women, created in the image of God, he says. And so there's some really important implications there, because then we're created for a relationship with a God who is relational. Mm. We are created in his image. He is a God who exists in a relationship. Mm. That's kind of a big mind-blowing thing. Mm. And he created us with that same capacity for relationship, which means we were designed and created to know him, to relate to him, to love him, to follow him, to obey him. Mm. That's our purpose. Yeah. Not for us, for him, but we are beneficiaries of it. Mm-hmm. If the God who is the Creator is good, is loving, he is sovereign, he is purposed, he's intelligent, he's caring, he takes care of, he protects, he wants only what is best for us. What a blessing that is for mankind. Mm-hmm. You see, the great lie of Satan is that God is not good. He is not caring. Mm-hmm. He is vengeful, and he is out to get you. But Genesis chapter 1, Elohim is the all-powerful, transcendent God who cares about his creation, who values his creation, who wants what's best for his creation. Another implication of Elohim in chapter 1 is that we are never alone. He is never separated from his creation. He's very intimately involved in
close.
It. Yeah, which gets into a whole other category. We could, because there's a lot about, you know, earth and nature today. Another implication of Elohim, you know, being the all-powerful and creator in Genesis 1 in regard to nature is that, you know, we're not told to respect nature, but to respect the one who created nature. So this is why we take care of things. This is why we are responsible stewards. It's because God is the creator, and we care about him, and we care about what he created. And so we take care of, you know, so we take care of the earth. We take care of things, not because we respect nature, we respect the creator of nature. And that's a really important, I think, shift in how we should think about things.
Perspective of being stewards because God is the creator, not because we love the creation.
Right. I'm not against, you know, taking care of animals or anything. Today, people have forgotten the creator and have turned the creation into the all-powerful sovereign.
Mm, right.
So what an offense to God who cares about our environment, who cares about our world, but we don't care about him. We only care about his creation.
Right.
What an offense to him that is.
Insult.
Yeah. Another implication of Elohim in Genesis 1 is that the universe is managed by a someone and not a something.
Mm.
You know, he is a personal God.
Yeah, well, there's intention. It wasn't chance. Right. The Big Bang has no water to hold when it comes to the detail and care that the Yahweh, the Elohim, created with his power to, you see intention. A something doesn't have intention, right? Someone does.
Yeah, it's a someone. And so this name of God, Elohim, he wants us to know that he is the all-powerful creator. You know, one more verse back in Hebrews chapter 1, which is really interesting. You know, he says, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. Mm. So Elohim in Genesis chapter 1 is seen in the person of Jesus, through whom the universe was made. Jesus is the all-powerful creator.
Right. He was there.
He was there.
Elohim. Yeah. That is cool. I didn't make that connection to Jesus and the creation story. I mean, the us, when God says let us make man, Yeah, that's really cool from Hebrews, just that connection to Jesus being part of the Elohim.
Right. And then John writes in John 1:1, you know, in the beginning, it's interesting how John is paralleling Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. And then John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, talking about Jesus. And we know he's talking about Jesus because verse 14 says, the Word took on flesh and made his dwelling among us. And then even between there, it talks about that all things are made by him, by the Word. And so to get to know God, to get to know Elohim, we need to get to know Jesus. Just like getting to know Adonai, we get to know Jesus. Just like getting to know Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals, we get to know Jesus. Just like Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is our shepherd, we get to know Jesus. And just like Yahweh, who is the personal God who wants this personal relationship, Jesus said, believe in me. You believe in me, you believe in the Father. So it comes back to Jesus and all that. So you're starting to get this full picture, and we're just we're just scratching the surface. Yeah, I mean, we could go all over the place.
Highlights, yeah.
With this.
I love Jesus. But just to hear these names and see that in the life of Jesus, I mean, even a few weeks ago, Jehovah Sekenu, just the righteousness that we have. Yeah, it all goes back. I mean, it all points to Jesus. Right. And it's cool to see Jesus in the Old Testament in these names. Wow, that's just so cool. Well, thank you, Puma, and thank you guys for listening. Yeah, I mean, I'm real excited about these names. We have a few left, and it's so cool. Just, you know, praise God for his faithfulness to us and to his word. I mean, to see Jesus lived in the character of God in the Old Testament, but also in the New, which is so cool. So guys, if you have any questions or comments, please email us, let us know. You can email us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. That's thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to touch base with you guys and, yeah, maybe even, you know, discuss some of the questions you guys ask. So we appreciate you and, yeah, keep close to the heart of God. We have a good God who has some great names, and it's just fun to see that displayed throughout Scripture. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.